Welcome to Step Into the Story. Incredible conversations of how the Bible changes lives, changes families, and changes communities across the globe. And here's your host, Phil Tuttle of Walk Through the Bible.
Well, welcome to Step Into the Story. Every time we get together, I get to sit down with a person and we explore their life. Maybe it's their entire life. Maybe it's a major episode of their life that was altering in some big ways. But the goal is to explore the intersection of their story with God's story. And today's guest, Leanne Martin, is herself a storyteller, and she's great at telling other people's stories. But today we get to turn the tables, and Leanne, our listeners, our viewers get to hear your story and talk about the intersection of God's story and your life. So Leanne, welcome to Step Into the Story.
Thank you, Phil. I am so excited to be here.
Well, a lot of you probably do not know Leanne, but if you've had any connection with Walk Through the Bible for any time, you've probably been touched by her ministry. I mean, she's written like literally thousands of devotional entries in different magazines that we've done. When I do a new biblical character course, I mean, if it were left to me to take the life of Elijah like we've just finished in Courageous and turn that into a workbook, nobody anywhere in the world would ever benefit from that teaching. And Leanne, I just want to say thank you so much for our ministry, which I lead, but even more than that, just personally for taking lots of times half-formed thoughts in my mind, and then you take, and between you and your sister Donna, who works here full-time, I mean, I'll read stuff that gets created and go, yeah, that's what I meant to communicate. So thank you so much for that ministry, which has been going on for a whole lot of years. I just don't think you have any idea of the true impact that you've had.
Well, thank you, Phil. I've learned so much from working with you and working at Walk Through the Bible, and I just appreciate those opportunities to grow.
So obviously you are a gifted writer, or we would not be working with you. I would love to hear, when did you first know that you had a gift? I mean, gifts don't come fully developed like muscles. They need to be exercised and strengthened. But when did you know that's something that God has put in me, and that's maybe something I'd like to be a major part of my life? Do you have memories of that?
I do. Actually, I was 8 years old, and I started writing down stories of this set of twins and these little four-page stories about them solving mysteries. I loved reading. I was sort of a late bloomer with reading, but once I caught on, I just read everything I could get my hands on. And if you want to be a better writer, then be a really good reader. Read a lot. And that's what I did. And that excitement of what I was reading in books carried over into myself of like, I want to create stories. I want to write. I want to write stories. And so it began as a deep love of storytelling when I was just 8 years old, and it continued all the way through school. Into high school, I started, and into college, I did a lot of, you know, college, collegiate type writing. I really fell in love with nonfiction writing. And then as I got older, got out of college and into my 20s, is when I started writing more nonfiction articles and the devotionals for Walk Through the Bible. And for me, writing is, there's a push-pull there, there's a joy and a passion in it, but it is hard work, it is discipline. One of my favorite writers quoted another writer who said, I don't necessarily like writing, I like having written. I like having written.
Oh, that's actually brilliant. Meaning, yeah.
Yeah, I like that it's been done, and I do enjoy the process, but I also enjoy the editing, revising process of making it better. And I credit Walk Through the Bible so much with helping me to make my writing better, revise, edit, make those words count. So much of it is for me, the gift of writing, I believe, is a gift straight from the Lord. And so I want to use it for Him and His glory.
I mean, what you said is so true. You want to become a better writer, read more, read broadly. I don't think anybody would be surprised to know that you read, Bible-related things, theological things, all that. But most of my favorite writers, I've never asked you this question, most of my favorite writers have, like, there's a separate genre that like you're getting on a 4-hour airplane ride out to the West Coast. And what's the kind of book that you're going to take with you? And don't say, some Bible commentary or something. We're assume that. I'm talking about outside of that field of reading. Where do your interests fall?
I love novels. I love historical fiction. I've read quite a bit about World War II, strangely enough, and then also the Jane Austen time period, Regency, Georgian, and I love that. So I look at that. I look at those novels as chocolate. So I'm a chocoholic, and those books to me are like a big old chocolate candy bar. But when I want the real substance sustenance, then I'm reading other Christian living or heavier works like that. But I do love my chocolate. I do love those novels for sure. And again, what I've learned through those reading so many of those novels is how is storytelling and the importance
Right.
of story and drawing people in with story.
I think you and my wife, Ellen, your interests align pretty tightly there. And I grew up thinking that history is the worst subject. I don't know whether I had a couple of teachers who just weren't great communicators, or it's probably a lot of it was just my own immaturity. And God was like, all right, then you can marry a history major, secondary ed teacher, Phil, and you can take remedial American and world history for the next 40 or 50 years together. And now I'm just intrigued by it. And I mean, I could have missed all of that. So I'm glad you are a broad reader, and I think that adds so much depth when you do writing.
It really does. It really does.
So you have a blog that's called Glimsen, and Glimsen, and I'm used to things coming back with red marks for misspelling. I'm not familiar with that word. Did you create that word? And is it what's the meaning of it?
That's such a great question, and it does look like a mistake, doesn't it? Shouldn't there be a P in there or something for
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, Glimson is actually a Middle English term. There's some there's a Germanic root to it, and even I think some Old English usage, but it means glimmer or glimpse of, or like a glimmering light. And so the reason I chose that was with Glimpson, I talk about beauty, the beauty around us in nature, the arts, and the unexpected. And I talk about that because ultimately beauty, it draws us in and it points us to something greater than ourselves, someone greater than ourselves. And so I look at myself as sharing glimpses or glimmers of beauty, just moments of beauty that I experience and that other people experience to draw in the reader. Telling a little story of beauty that I've experienced in a way I hope that will encourage them to look for beauty, the beauty around them as well.
And we'll talk about the book Glimmers of Hope I'm actually just now starting to read it. And something kind of funny happened. Your sister brought me a copy of it. I said, isn't Leanne working on a book? And she goes, well, she finished one like a year ago. I don't know what planet I've been on that I missed it. So I was in anticipation of this podcast. I'm like, I got to read a bunch of these. Leanne, I didn't get past the first one. Do you remember the first one that's in there?
Yeah.
Can you, I mean, just what you said, you take and you really kind of spin a modern day parable in a number of these. And somebody asked me one time, said, Phil, do that many weird, funny things actually happen to you? Or do we all experience those things and your mind is just so twisted that you notice them and then you point them out? And I guess I would ask you that same question related to beauty. You know, do you have some kind of special connection with God where he just goes, oh, man, let me give Leanne an extra glimpse into my character and my heart that other people don't get to see? You know, is this some kind of deeper level stuff, or is this just been something that he cultivated in you and you're more observant than most of us are? What are your thoughts about that?
Yes. Well, it's a couple of things, really. So many years ago, about 25 years ago now, I went through a divorce that I didn't see coming. And it was very painful. And the Lord used many, many things to bring me comfort and to show me himself. And during that time, he used beauty and to just sort of open my eyes to him and his presence with me and to become more aware. It was as if he was using beauty as a way to draw me to himself. And I have since spoken to a number of people, and they have said that that has been their case too, their experience too. But I would say that because over these years, I've become more sensitive, more aware of the beauty around us. And I think the more that you look for it, the more you see it. Just like the more you look for God's presence in your life, you see him, or ways that he's trying to teach you. You see those things popping up in your life. And so I think a lot of it is just building an awareness of that. And then sometimes I do think that because I am so sensitive to it, I do think sometimes he does little things for me, you know, just I know, like, it's almost like maybe he thinks, I know she'll notice this, so I'm going to give her this little gift.
And yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And he does that for all of us, not just me.
Yeah. And so many people have read, you know, the book Love Languages. And, you know, if there's anybody who knows your love language and my love language, it's God. And so why he's infinite. So why is it a stretch to think that he's custom tailoring his communication with us in that way? You know, we know from scripture that he created us primarily for a relationship with him and to make himself known to us and to pursue that intimate connection. So that is not a stretch for me to believe that at all. I think probably there's a bunch of people listening to us going, man, that's pretty far from my experience. Maybe as you're listening to this, you're even going through an ugly time in your life right now. I mean, when a relationship ends, whether it's marriage or a friendship or when you end up, for whatever reason, having to find a different church or you know, you thought your career was set and now there's restructuring going on at where you work or maybe your job's just going away. And it's hard to see any beauty in that at all. And I would just say, listen to what Leanne is saying here and ask God, show me more of yourself. Show me more of yourself. And you know, for some that happens through nature. For some it can happen through a pet. I mean, our dog Chipper, who we had to say goodbye to last year, he taught me more about unconditional love that is really a reflection of God than pretty much any human in my life ever has. And you know, if God can communicate through Balaam's donkey in the Old Testament, then he can use anything. We'll pick back up on my conversation with Leanne Martin in a minute, but you know, you can't hear her story and the intersection of her story and God's story without seeing the central role that the Bible has played in Leanne's entire life. And of all the tools we've ever developed at Walk Through the Bible, I believe maybe my all-time favorite is the Daily Walk Bible. It's sold well over 1 million copies. It's just been reformatted, and it's out in a really good edition. There's a large print edition, too, if that's an issue for you. But the Daily Walk Bible breaks down Scripture into 365 daily readings. Each day says, hey, this is what you're going to read today. This is where it fits in the big story of the Bible or the development of thought in this book. I just can't commend it to you strongly enough. And if this conversation is making you say, I want a relationship like that. I want to know God in the way like Leanne is talking about. I want to see the world through the eyes of Scripture, not just my eyes. Then the Daily Walk Bible is for you. We joke about it around here. We say, this is the one that'll get you through Leviticus. It's easy to start out. Maybe this is the year I'm going to read the Bible. Genesis is awesome. Exodus is epic. And like my dad said, I've died in the wilderness in the book of Leviticus with the people of Israel many times through the years. The Daily Walk Bible can get you over that hump, keep you engaged. Check it out at walkthrough.org/shop. And now let's pick up my conversation with Leanne, because there's so much more that we want to hear from her. I love the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is soon going to be 400 years old, and it may not be part of your faith tradition as you're listening, but check it out. It's actually in a Q&A format, and it's to kind of take the faith that can be vague and kind of complicated and break it down. And it's questions that as a child or an emerging adult, you learn answers to. But the very first question is, what is the chief end of man? And by man, that's not like male type of man. That's generic people. Why did God create people? And the answer that then you're to give back to that question is the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And I think this is what your ministry focuses on, that it's not just the glorify him, do what he wants you to do. That's probably more where my gifts align. But you provide the other half of that and say he really is to be enjoyed. It's a relationship to be cultivated. And I alluded earlier to not getting very far in your book. Can you tell our listeners that story? Because this, to me, if you get this in your mind, this is the best advertisement for your book, Glimmers of Hope, that I can think of. But this mm-hmm. metaphor just kind of lit my brain up. So tell that story of you and Mart and getting away and what you were celebrating and the surprise God had for you.
Yes, I love this story. So I did years after the divorce, I did remarry a godly man who loves me and my daughter and my dog. And so our first anniversary, we went up to Highlands, North Carolina, and we went to an art gallery. So in Glimpson, I write about beauty and art and nature and the unexpected. And so we were at this art gallery, and you can't really You could see a couple of pieces behind me, I think, but our house has art on every wall. We just love art. And so to go to an art gallery was going to be, we knew, a fun time of being together and just looking at the art and dreaming about what it would be like to have, you know, some of these pieces in our home, or one of these pieces in our home. And so as I was walking along, and Mart was behind me, and we were looking at the different pieces. Some were on the walls, and some were just on the floor or stacked. I remember there being a lot. I sort of turned a corner and looked, and there was this huge, huge painting of many different colors. And it was, it made me just stop and stare. And it was like a gasp-worthy moment. And as I'm looking at it and looking at all the colors, I realize that it is a big jar. It's a big oval, sort of cylindrical jar. It reminded me of the jars I've seen used in the Middle East, and it made me think of the jar metaphor in Scripture. And it made me think of the jar of clay where that Paul is talking about, in the New Testament, just of what we as Christ's followers carry in our jars, and of ourselves and our hearts being the gospel. And Mark came up beside me, and I said, you know, look at that. And we both agreed that is a jar of clay. That's a jar of clay. And it made us think of that metaphor and talk about it. And we knew in that moment that, or we hoped in that moment that we might be able to take that home with us. It was certainly more expensive than we had really ever spent on a piece of art, but it was one of those things that was so clearly, it was such a strong image of God, of Christ, the gospel, and his word, and then our marriage too, what we wanted our marriage to be, that we really felt like we should talk about whether to take it home or not. And so we went to a coffee shop, and we were back and forth about it, like, we shouldn't do this. Yeah, but if we did, but you know. And Mark got out his little calculator on his phone and was like, okay, well, if, you know, would you be willing to spend 25 cents a day towards this, you know, for however many years to be able to afford this piece of art? And he laughs because he's like, I can justify anything that
If
way.
we eat ramen noodles for 16 years,
Exactly.
baby, we can do this. Yeah,
We can
right.
do this and we'll be happy to, you know. And so anyway, we ended up convincing ourselves and each other that we really should get this painting, and it hangs in our living room now, and it is one of our most precious pieces, not because it is so large and was more than we wanted to pay, but felt it was worth it. But it's priceless to us because of what it represents of our belief in Christ and what he has done in us, when, you know, when Christ came into us and transformed us. And it's quite an important piece for us. And it was absolutely the Lord reaching out to us and drawing us to him through that.
And I only got to page one of your book. I'm looking forward to that. As long as your sister doesn't make me return her copy, I will press forward.
I'll get you one.
Okay,
Thank
yeah.
you.
Please do. God reveals himself in all sorts of ways through nature, through current events. I mean, just through bizarre, unexpected experiences, all of those things. But the primary way he reveals himself, makes himself known to us, is through Scripture. And when you write, you're kind of building a bridge between these two worlds of right now and an experience that I'm going through right now and thoughts that got triggered in my head. But then you're always tying it in with God's timeless truth. And it's obvious that you are a person who loves the scriptures, God's word. What's that look like in your life? How did that develop? What do you do to cultivate that and keep it fresh? Because again, this is a compelling conversation that we're having, but the goal of this is not just that we'd always just go, man, Leanne is awesome, or Leanne has something I sure wish I had, and I don't know why God loves her more than he loves me. That is not the case. But what do you do to cultivate your understanding of scriptures, not as an academic textbook, but in this relational, real life oriented kind of way? Just kind of ramble about that a little bit, because okay. I want to hear how you answer that.
Well, I would say quiet time. My quiet time is so important. And Bible study and prayer, all the things that you would expect me to say, all of those are so important. For many years, I have been in a weekly intensive Bible study, which has taught me so much about sticking with it, verse by verse sometimes, chapter by chapter sometimes if we were flying through, and wrestling with those hard issues. I've learned a lot about, as I've gotten older, I've learned a lot about faithfulness, the faithfulness of God to us, the way he reveals himself through scripture in terms of his faithfulness to his people all throughout scripture. He was so patient. He continues to be so patient with us. And so I've learned about his faithfulness to us, and I've learned more about my faithfulness, or what my faithfulness should be, my lack of faithfulness at times, and the gap between where I am and where I want to be. A lot of the writing that I have done feels aspirational in terms of everything that I've ever written. I'm probably still struggling with in some way. It's not that we arrive, you know, that I know everything about how not to worry. It's something that I continue to wrestle with, and I want other people to know that we're always in a learning state, and that he is always working in us to knock off the sharp edges. You know, another thing that has been so important to me is fellowship with other believers, other Christians, whether that is in a small group format or you know, in worship on Sunday mornings, or listening to a podcast, sharing with friends on the phone, sharing with my sister, and, you know, sharing with you right now, just of all the ways that I would like to be more than I am, and more like Christ than I am, but knowing that he is not giving up on me, and he continues to grow me in that. So, and I will say, you know, a lot of my favorite scriptures have to do with his creation, like Psalm 8, you know, and Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. I love those. And then I was just today in Bible study with some friends talking about the metaphor of God as a bird and a mother bird covering his chicks with his feathers, covering and protecting us with his wings. And I love that image. And so often that is meant so very much to me of like he is, I am under his wings. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my strong tower, my protector. And he is faithful. He is all powerful and majestic. All of those things. And I've learned that through scripture. And again, not to sound like a commercial, but I've learned so much about his word through Walk Through the Bible. When I first started working with Walk Through on a freelance basis, I was editing the magazines, the devotionals in the magazines, and some of the workbooks that were being done back then. And it was my work was actually like an extended quiet time. And it taught me how to be in scripture. And it laid a foundation for me of the importance of God's word in our growth, in little ways, little increments, and over a lifetime, over the journey, in big ways. Just that staying in the word and studying, meditating, reading, saying it out loud, all of the different ways that we can engage with his scripture. It feeds us, it's living and active, and it grows, he grows us through it. And his Holy Spirit is teaching us, we can read a passage one day and and years later, he's bringing it back around. And building on that in another way, building and building. And another thing I've discovered is just the way that his word is so interwoven. Like a passage in Matthew goes back to the Psalms. I just, was looking at that today, and Deuteronomy. And if I'm studying it in the Psalms, then I can look to Deuteronomy and Matthew. It's just amazing how it's all interwoven and it hangs together so beautifully. I've learned so much about the Old Testament by studying the New Testament, and it's such a gift and such a treasure that we have, and we can open it at any point.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I could just picture a lot of people listening, watching this, maybe on YouTube or just hearing it in their car driving someplace. And the takeaway is I never met Leanne until just now, and I want to learn more from her, whether you're looking for a speaker for an event, or maybe you want to get the book, Glimmers of Hope, and go on this adventure with Leanne. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
I would say through my website, which is glimsen.net, Glimsen, and no P in that.
Nope.
And then Facebook and Instagram is just at Glimsen.
At Clemson. All right. Beautiful. Well, one more question. I think this is a cool time in your life. You have had a very behind the scenes role for a long time. I know you're continuing with that. You just have finished up a major project with us on Courageous, the new study in Elijah. But now it's as if God is saying, "Hey, Leanne, you've been faithful with what I ask you to do. Now, let me open some bigger doors for you." So if there are any dreams, and this is gonna push you and maybe make you uncomfortable, but some of those dreams went back to being 8 years old, but he's always given us new dreams. What's something on your heart that hasn't happened yet that we, as your listeners and friends, can ask God to open up that door, because you have been faithful with what he's previously entrusted to you, and I just can't wait to see what he's going to do next. What's on your heart for the future?
What a beautiful question, Phil. That will take a second. I would say that just that he would with Glimpson, if just that he would make it clear what my next steps are. I have a book in the works for Glimpson where I'm writing about beauty. And I'm thinking about doing retreats around beauty as a way, again, a way of not worshiping the beautiful thing, but worshiping the Lord who made it, worshiping the one who is behind it. And so I'd like to possibly do some retreats about that. I actually have planned retreats before and conferences, so this seems to me a wonderful next step. But I would say probably those would be the big things. I still someday, if we're talking about the oldest dream that I have, I still someday would like to write a novel. I don't know how I will ever fit that in, given everything else that I want to do. But that would absolutely be a dream come true for me.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. As we wrap up today, exactly what Leanne is communicating, there is a version of that that God wants to do in literally every person's life. I used to pray before I would preach. I'd say, Lord, somebody here today needs a fresh touch from you. Somebody needs to know that you genuinely care about them. Please, Lord, speak to somebody. I don't pray that prayer ever anymore. I pray literally, may every man and woman and every boy and girl who's listening to this right now, may they feel like, Lord, you're talking to them through your word today. And then, Lord, give them the faith to step out and do something in response to what they hear. So again, the goal of this conversation is not to go, wow, that's Leanne's one of those special people that God has big plans for. I just don't believe that. You and I are two of the most common people I know, and all God's looking for is availability. And so whether you're listening and you've heard there's been rough times in Leanne's story that she would never have written into the plot line. And yet it's through those toughest times that she got to know God the most. And just a message of encouragement today that God wants us to recognize his beauty. And whether that's in an artistic sense or in a musical sense, maybe your thing is science. And it's the intricacies of the universe or the human body. Maybe you're a math major, you're an accountant, or you just get into the minutia. God can hang on that level too. And I just want to encourage you in your personal development of your relationship with God. We talked about the Daily Walk Bible earlier. That's a great first step. Certainly, Leanne's book is. Continue. Subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a single issue, because this is the kind of thing that God builds just piece by piece, layer on layer, and he reinforces. And pretty soon you see a pattern in your life, and it's like, okay, God, I don't think I'm just dreaming this up. I think you're calling me to take a next step with you. So I hope you've enjoyed this conversation today. I hope to see you again on the next edition of Step Into the Story. Tell your friends about it. Leave a review online. We want to grow this thing. My mom died a few years ago. That cut my listenership in half when my mom died. And this is people sharing their stories. There's power in that. So get this out to your friends. Leanne, thank you for being my guest today. And we'll see everybody next time we get together on Step Into the Story. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for the Step Into the Story podcast, powered by Walk Through the Bible. We'd love to hear what you think by giving us a review on iTunes or Google Play. Also, don't miss a single episode by clicking the subscribe button. If you'd like more resources to help you explore and live God's Word in your daily life, visit walkthrough.org. That's walkthrough.org. Walk through the Bible. Take a walk. Change the world.